Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're privileged to talk to Michael Gurian, the author of The Wonder of Aging, started with The Wonder of Boys and a whole bunch of other great bestsellers. And if you listen to us, you'll know that Joe Galewski is not here. He's taken the day off. I think he's on a golf course. But in any case, Bridget is with me. So Michael Gurian is the author of this fabulous book, The Wonder of Aging. And we've gotten a couple of questions already, but he talks about grandparents' brain in here as one of the phases. So first, Michael, thanks for coming on. And what are the stages over the age of 50 that bring in the wonder?
Okay. Yeah, and thank you for having me on, really. The three stages developed out of the, I think initially when I was a teenager, my mom and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross were friends, so she was at our house quite a bit. So there must have been some sort of brain memory of that. But the study of it really came from seeing a gap in Erik Erikson stages and, you know, seeing that that we really didn't have good staging for sort of 50 onward.
Why do you think that was? Let me interrupt you. Why do you think that didn't happen?
I think because this living, you know, from between 50 and 100, which is what many, many, many of us do, this is really quite recent. It was 120 years ago that our average age was 49. So here we are now at, you know, between 75 and 80.
Our average age of death was 49.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Average life expectancy, 49. At the turn of that century. So it's kind of a miracle that we're all living and that many of us will live toward into 80, 90, maybe some to 100. So I just don't think we focused on it. And there were stages of adulthood, stages of middle age, but I really felt I needed to go deeper into aging, especially positive aging. So I looked at brain biology and at the science and then matched it with cross-cultural research. And what I believe we're seeing is three stages, at least. The three I've been able to delineate are from 50 to 65, and these are loose numbers, 50 to 65. That's transformation. And everyone that I studied, everyone in all our Gurian Institute studies, we found that they are, I'm 55, making a transformation, one or more in that time, from adult to elder. So we're transforming from adult to elder. Now, some of us concentrate on it, and by the time we're 65, we really know we're elders. Others are still really hanging on to being adult or younger, and so that's its own question. But that's that age of transformation.
Yeah,
and
I figured since you do mention real age in the book, I felt I can bring it up. I felt like I'm delayed about 16 or 17 years in this. I'm just entering, although I'm 67, I feel like I'm 50 in your book.
You're transforming right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know, as I said just before, I mean, I want to say to listeners that I don't think I could have written this without your work in Real Age, because that opens up the ability to study this time frame from this positive approach. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
No, absolutely. And so then 65-ish, people are saying, well, I want to retire. Now, not all of us can or want to, but there's something inchoate and deep in us, and I think it has to do with the fact that our cells are, you know, debilitating. We're getting older. Menopause and andropause are pretty much finished by 65, and they transform us. So 65 to 80, I'm looking at as the stage of distinction, and the grandparenting. A lot of people feel that they have their identity through grandparenting. A lot of them, a lot of us will still be working, but we're slowing that down somewhat. Some people take on second careers. Some people start to paint or to write. And what people say is, I felt free, or I feel free to be who I am. And that I'm naming distinction. We are distinct selves. If we were not before, we are now. And then the third stage is completion. And as we and our spouse significantly debilitate, we move toward completion, and I see that as very positive, obviously, from the word completion, and that might take us to a discussion of dying and death.
Well, it's interesting. I have a question from one of our listeners that came in on the email line, And I'm going to paraphrase it. It comes in from a guy named George, who is in St. Louis. So George writes, I don't have grandkids. And when I hit retirement age, he said, when I retired at age 70, I felt a lack of purpose. I'm right. still trying to get grandkids, but I have a lack of purpose. And he said, in fact, I got very depressed, so depressed I started drinking. He said, tell me more about grandparent brain, and is there a way I can get grandparent brain if that's a good thing and gives you a purpose in life for raising grandkids? If that's part of it, I haven't read the book, he stated. He said, if that's part of it, and how I can get that without grandkids.
Right. Well, and it's a great question. See, that's the key. The key to this book is positive aging. So each of these steps, I'm trying to help people see these in the positive and then have concentrations. Each chapter is a different concentration. Now, the grandparenting brain, if you don't have grandparents, the way that that happens is through mentoring. And so one really has to volunteer. One has to, in a faith community, if one's in a faith community, or through boys clubs, girls clubs, all of them.
We need to volunteer. Let's get specific for them. Is there an age which you want to, in other words, do you want to volunteer in a daycare, or do you volunteer in to do foster, take care of foster kids, or where do you volunteer to get this for him?
Well, the quickest and easiest place, if someone's in a faith community, is to go there, right? Because they're always trying to connect older people with younger people, any religion, any faith community. If a person's not in a faith community or there isn't something there, boys clubs and girls clubs, big brothers, big sisters, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and then if there are programs that connect nursing homes or retirement communities with daycares, as you said. Anywhere where you're allowed to volunteer, I have a story in the book of someone who went through this, who became very depressed when she retired, because it's distinction, it's identity. She lost her identity. She also did not have grandkids. Well, she volunteered and was one of the oldest people to join the Peace Corps. So that's where the connection there is feeding the minds of younger people, and then younger people feed our minds. So as we mentor younger people, they mentor us, and that's the grandparent brain.
And
so you don't have to have your own grandkids is the key.
And tell us what, or tell our listeners what the grandparent brain consists of. Is what changes occur with it?
Well, for example, like men will say, "Wow, I'm really different as a grandparent than I was as a parent," and so men when they say it. They'll say it in terms of, I'm a little less harsh now, I'm more encouraging, there's less competition. And that's some of the stuff that's actually happening inside our brains. And I think it's really happening because our hormones change. And so that affects our brains. Women will say, I don't take as much stuff from kids. I'd love to baby them, but if I think they're doing something that makes no sense, I'll say it. And again, I think there's an effect from the hormones discharging and our hormones moving through us and then completing that our brains are affected. At a spiritual or more emotional level, I think it happens because we get to a point of identity and really a sense of freedom to be who we are. And so when we're caring for these young people that we spoil somewhat, we just bring this full, beautiful identity to them. And I think at a spiritual level, that's what the grandparent brain is.
When we come back, we're going to ask questions. We've gotten some questions about what dying free is. Someone has bought the book, listening, knew that we were going to have it since we tweeted it earlier in the week. The book is The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. And it really is a brilliantly written book. Has a lot of great features in it. By Michael Gurian, G-U-R-I-A-N, as well as we'll get to the tip of the week, the real age tip of the week, right at the end if we get time. We'll be right back on Radio MD. You can email us at udocs@gmail.com. Radio MD, stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And the show is back to talking about the wonder of aging. It's a book from Atria, the author, best-selling New York Times best-selling author of The Wonder of Boys is Michael Gurian. And this is really a fascinating book. Divides aging over the age of 50, which is interesting to me that it is 50, into three stages. The age of distinction and completion are what we're talking about now. Actually, one of our frequent listeners and frequent email questioners, Muriel, wrote about the freedom of dying, and she wanted to know what you really meant by that, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, the last two chapters, the chapter 7 deals with taking your second chances, making sure to get your second and third breath and your second and third wind and your second and third chance, and making sure to do that, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And the last chapter is on completion, and that's going to involve one's spouse dying and oneself dying, depending on the order in which that happens. So there's a story in that last chapter of a doctor who watched his grandmother gradually over a 10-year period die of Alzheimer's, and he made a decision. He said, "You know, I've written an email to my family. We've got it stored up that if I get Alzheimer's, you know, a few years, and then once it gets to where I can't remember anyone and I'm just sitting there, I want to end things. I want to be done." And he and I had a lot of dialogues, his position about what I call a free death or a service death. And part of the idea that he talked about also was, okay, I'll have some resources to leave behind. All those resources could get sucked up into my dying. I would rather be of service and continue to be of use as a human being to those, you know, to my kids, grandkids, and community by leaving a legacy, by leaving these resources, by not taking up all these resources to live a few more months. I mean, this is, you know, a stark dialogue about this. And so I call it a free death or a service death, where we're still allowed to be of service even as we're dying. And that means we need to be able to say, this is what I want, and I'm doing it to be of service, and I need to be free to do that. And I believe that gradually we're moving toward this because so many of us are getting older, so we will take control of this. But right now, you know, that's a hard position. It's because I live in the state of Washington. We do have a death with dignity law, but very few people use it, and it's quite complex. And I would really like to see more of us involved in that and in that movement, so that in 10 to 20 years, we will have the freedom to die as we've had the freedom to live.
Now, talk to me about the lifetime of second chances as well. So you get pretty heavy when you talk about the freedom to die. Even Bridget, who smiles a lot, got very serious about that. So obviously that comes from some of the maybe your mother's frequent visitor, if you will.
But Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Right.
Yes.
But now let's talk about a lifetime of second chances. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, a couple of stories are in there. One is of Eva Lastman, who she died at 92. She was a Holocaust survivor, and it wasn't until she was a grandparent and her grandkids were grown, so she was in her 70s, that she developed this lifetime of second chances. In other words, she had a whole second wind. She had never talked to people about the Holocaust and about her experiences. She had survived the Warsaw Ghetto, then been to Birkenau and Treblinka, and she was the only person in her family who survived. She came to live in Spokane, Washington, which is where I live. I got to know her here. And people will find it beautiful to hear her story and how she did it. Not until her 70s did she start going into elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and talking about it. Her soul opened up about it, but for her first, you know, the 50 years after her survival, she just couldn't talk about it. Well, that's an example of someone who, in their later years, is really focused on purpose and legacy and taking this second chance after the kids are grown, even the grandkids were grown, to do something of service and of use. And, of course, it fed her life. I mean, it really, until just the last number of months of her life when she got quite sick, she was still out there trying to talk to people about that experience. So that's just one example of second chances. And I talked about the Peace Corps volunteer. If this is part of positive aging. And by the way, the chapter on death is actually very positive.
So I am going to tell people they ought to read The Wonder of Aging. If you're any place near 50, 45 and over, get The Wonder of Aging, A New Approach to Embracing Life After 50. Michael Gurian, G-U-R-I-A-N, the website, michaelgurian.com. It's a book available any place. Thanks very much, Michael. And now we'll go to our Real Age Tip of the Week. And the Real Age Tip this week, steady your blood pressure with this picnic treat. It's picnic time, so drop your blood pressure down a few notches by enjoying this pink, juicy picnic treat more often. It's simple watermelon. Turns out watermelon, whether it's because it's loaded with the amino acid L-citrulline or not, has been shown in repeated studies to lower blood pressure and improve circulation. Decreases blood pressure by about 7/5. That's pretty big, actually. So savor some slices. 7/5 may sound like a small drop, but it's enough of a drop to prevent prehypertension from progressing to full-blown hypertension. And a drop in aortic systolic blood pressure is thought to be especially important in mitigating cardiovascular disease risk. In these studies, not only do people's systolic blood pressure drop when they took a watermelon extract of L-citrulline and L-arginine, but also their blood arterial function, that is the flow in their blood vessels, was much improved over the placebo group. That is, the watermelon extract contained approximately 2.7 grams of L-citrulline, the same amount you get from about 7 cups of watermelon. That's a lot of watermelon, but other studies have shown blood pressure benefit with smaller amounts, so don't feel you have to eat the whole melon. That's right. The benefit, reducing your blood pressure by losing excess weight or by any means you choose, can make your real age up to 25 years younger. That's right. Just reducing your blood pressure from 130 over 85 to what would be in this study, 128 over 81, makes you about 4.5 years younger. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. What do you think, Bridget? Do you have watermelon?
That was a good one. I actually had watermelon this afternoon.
So there is such a thing as watermelon slush, obviously. There's obviously watermelon gazpacho. That is using watermelon to make gazpacho. You can go to the ShareCare.com website to find the recipe for watermelon gazpacho. In the next hour. Well, I'm not allowed to tell you about the next hour. I forgot about that. But in any case, we've had a great guest, The Wonder of Aging with Michael Gurian. We'll be right back next week for this hour. And if you're on one of those stations that keeps having us, you can listen to us the next hour as well on Radio MD. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Juliana and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to ParentsGuideCordBlood.org to learn more.